Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 to 21 titled The Works of the Flesh. This is part 2 of 2. Number 10, wrath. It's a violent anger resulting in physical eruption and vengeance. Wrath is not rebuking somebody. Today's soft little hearts just get so upset when you rebuke them and say, no, that's wrong. The Bible says otherwise. You're just so full of wrath. Strife. By the way, I've been accused of about half of these by Christians. Strife. Carnal. Unnecessary fighting and division. Unnecessary. Key word. There is a time to fight. There is a time for division. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. That's Jesus. So when you stand up for the truth with the sword of the Spirit, you're being Christ-like. Amen.
Amen.
But there's these silly things going on with people, and it's just strife. It's unnecessary. If you know what? If there's somebody here that, if I just don't like somebody, I mean their personality, their state, you know, I'll just not get around them. I won't cause division in the body over it. No. If there's somebody that comes here that you just have trouble with their personality, just put some distance between you. You got people like that in your family. So what do? You just, when you go to family gatherings, you just don't sit close to them all the time. I'm not talking about Charlie. I love Charlie. And when he's guilty of strife, I'm just kidding. We had it among the apostles. Luke 22:24. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And the apostles are arguing about, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest. You know, one of them was over there saying that, and the other one's like, no, man, I'm the greatest. No, I'm going to be at his right hand. Oh, I'm going to be at his right hand. And Jesus said, and then he went up to Jesus and asked, which one of us going to be his right hand? I'm not the one's going. The Father will declare that in due time. That's just strife. Seditions. Stirring up factions, disrupting the work of the ministry. Listen, you may have a problem with a pastor or a teacher or something in the church, but you can deal with it with prayer in a way that doesn't disrupt the work of the ministry. And there's a couple of people who have done that with BBF in the however long now it's been 9 years, it'll be 10 years next year that BBF has been in existence. We've had a couple of cases of this, and they'll answer to the Lord. I didn't take matters in my own hand. I put a stop to the sedition, but that was it. They left on their own accord. Heresies. False doctrine that results in damning souls, which would include not preaching repentance or hacking repentance up and only saying, well, you only have to repent of your unbelief. Then there's also we've had it a couple times, people brought in the denial of the deity of Christ. If Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh, He couldn't die for our sins, folks. Those are heresies because they damn souls, they cause discord, and they make shipwreck of the faith of those who follow those lies. If you don't believe that that's happening, just look at the church around you, the church at large. They have bought into these heresies, this gospel of lasciviousness, where everyone's assured of salvation just because they 1, 2, 3, repeat after me kind of thing. And then you got people who are preaching false about Jesus and who He is. And they've denied the Scripture, and they not only use the new versions, but they don't even have faith in those. It makes shipwreck. So the last section, smaller section, let's read verse 21, starts with these words. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, envyings is desiring what does not rightly belong to you. You know, you may like Charlie's beard, but you can't have it. You may want it on your wall. You can't have it. Yeah, amen. You know, and that happens in churches. There's a family that happens to have a nicer house and a nicer car and nicer clothes and nicer this and that, and their kids get to go to whatever school they want to. And then over here is another family that doesn't have much or any of all of that, and they get envious. And I've seen it in the youth group. The kids will go at one another, and it's all because of what they've heard mom and dad say about the family that has more. And then sometimes the people who have more look down on those who don't have. It can go both ways. Either way is wrong. Murders. Now you say, well, that's obvious. Don't jump. Killing others includes homicide, abortion, infanticide, euthanasia. And I think that, you know, of course, John says if you hate your brother, you're of that one, that like Cain, you're guilty of murder. That's a spiritual application. Christians actually do this. You don't have to go to the spiritual to find this. Homicide, abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, those things happen. Christians, according to the statistics, a lot of the abortions come from mothers who are members of churches who profess to be evangelical. There are cases, and it's going to grow, of evangelicals practicing euthanasia with the elderly and the mentally handicapped. It's also a form of euthanasia when your doctor says, well, your baby has Down syndrome, you should abort it. And evangelical women have done that. I mean, you think of all these and you really think about it, this happens a lot more often than you might believe within churches, people in churches. Drunkenness. It's an excess of alcohol, can include intoxication by any substance. Doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a wino to be a drunk. You can take pharmaceuticals and illegal street drugs that'll do this to you as well. Now, the pharmaceutical thing, you know, that's where you have to really use some judgment because your doctor is going to say, here, take this. You know, your doctor isn't your God.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Use your brain. When your doctor gives you a drug, you do your research. And then if you say, well, the research, you know, because some of these are like, side effects could include your head will explode. You know, you may not even want to try it. But if you judge that, okay, this might be something to help me, then you start to take it, and you start seeing pink elephants. Or My Little Pony characters. Or whatever the case may be. You might want to stop and not take that, because if you're aware that it's having that effect on you, it's just as wrong as going down to the bar and putting down too many beers. Illegal street drugs are obvious to most of us. But you know, there's a lot of Christians today who have taken a position it's all right to smoke pot. There are Christians who say, I don't think it's natural. God made it. Well, He made some mushrooms out there too. And you eat those that'll kill you. And then some of them will not kill you, but they'll make you whack. They're like, whoa. You know, because that's what's happened to a lot of these people in Hollywood. A lot of these Hollywood actors and actresses were kind of mentally stable, and then all of a sudden they started doing these mushrooms. You know why? Because whether it's alcohol, drugs that your doctor prescribed, or illegal or street medicines, and they put you in an altered state of mind, you have opened yourself up to the spirit world. And you can come under spirit attack if you're not careful. Revelings are parties that involve lascivious, drunken, and otherwise sinful behavior. And I think probably most, and it's been my experience, most professing Christian young people go to revelings. They attend them and sometimes take part in them. Sadly. And then it says, and such like. So again, if you didn't see anything that hits you right on the noggin in the last 17, this catches you. Because the works of the flesh are still in you. It's whether or not you're going to obey the flesh or the spirit. You still have a sinful nature in you. You were saved, And you have the guarantee of a day when you will put on a new body and have a new nature, because you will be as He is. We will be like Him, and we will see Him as He is. But we will be like Jesus. We're not going to be Jesus. We're not going to be eternal. We can't. We have a beginning. But we have eternal life, and we will be glorified, and we will be like Jesus. Which means there's coming a day when you won't have to worry about these things. But right now, you had better wake up to the fact, and I don't care, if you sat there and said, I would never, ever commit murder. Wake up call, it's in you. I would never cheat on my spouse. You had better watch out. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you. I know it is. I don't go out there thinking, well, I ain't heard anything for me to look at pornography because no one's here. The Lord's here.
Yeah.
Well, He won't care.
Don't bank on it.
That's what people tell themselves. And then you look and your heart starts to turn. And then the devil will always give you good excuses to act on that. Works of the flesh. I'd never steal from my employer. I'd never do anything like that. You're already taking the first step to doing it. You'd better remind yourself, I'm in the flesh. Lord, I ask today, You help me to be an honest employee. And by the way, if you're being paid to do a job and you don't do it, you're a thief. You're to be the best worker there. The best worker you can be. Why? Because you give an honest day's work for the wage you've agreed to work for. Don't say, well, He don't pay me enough. You took the job. You better do the job. Amen? But man is capable of innumerable sins, unimaginable wickedness, and unlimited rebellion. And I am still talking about Christians.
Yep.
It's still in you. If you don't fight. And with this limited list that Paul gives us, we come to this point. Read that. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to warn you, you got to be careful with how you read the Word of God. It's real easy to just jump off and say, oh, we better rightly divide. There are those who will lose some or all of their inheritance. You get that? If you don't believe me, we don't have time to read all these references. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. You want to write that down, read it. We've read it before numerous times. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 speak of those who lose their inheritance. But they still are saved. Says they'll be saved so as by fire.
What is it again?
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And that's at the judgment seat of Christ. And on the here and now in this earth, you think you're going to play games with God and live according to the works of the flesh? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17 says, God will destroy you. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 never says those people lose their salvation. It never says they won't gain entrance into the kingdom of God. They lose their inheritance. There's a difference. In addition to those, you have a contrast. There are some who will lose some or all of their inheritance, and there are those who will lose out on entering the kingdom at all. That's a difference we need to make. Jesus said this in John 3:3. Read it. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is about entrance into the kingdom of God. And if you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. Being born again is more than some people make it and less than what others make it. Being born again happens when you recognize that you're lost in your sins. and you hear the message, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and you receive that truth, and when you receive that gospel message as true, God produces in you repentance, and you repent toward God, and He produces faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not something you create out of thin air. And when you receive the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says that it effectually works in those who believe it. So you believe the gospel message, you receive it as true, God produces in you repentance toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith isn't just believing in your mind, oh yeah, that's true. Faith is when you turn trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His shed blood as full payment for your sins, His resurrection as the guarantee that He will raise you from the dead. You're saved. That's the moment you're born again. Now, folks, that all happens like that. I just broke it down for you. Happens like that. If you hear the gospel and receive it as God's word, all that happens. If it doesn't happen, that simply means you didn't really receive it. See? Repentance, faith are not works. Repentance and faith are produced in you when you receive the Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to you is the Word of God. You receive it as the Word of God, and that'll be true the rest of your life. When you hear the Word of God and receive it, it effectually works in you. You don't work, it works. That's why it says it is God who produces in you the things that you do in Ephesians. Would you like to see the kingdom of God? How many here don't want to see the kingdom of God? You better be born again. If you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Greg didn't say it. Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
That's why you know it's true.
Amen.
Amen. Would you like to inherit the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Don't do the things we just listed. You see, that involves your choices, works you do. Inheritance is related to your performance.
Amen.
The mature Christian is the one who realizes how serious this is. You have a lot of people say, well, you're telling people that they can live like the devil and still go to heaven. No, I'm telling you that salvation does not come by works, but your inheritance is based on your works. And if you will not live for Jesus, you will squander your inheritance. And you, as a little infant without any understanding right now, can belittle that and scoff at that. But on the day of judgment, you won't have this ridiculously ignorant attitude. At the judgment seat, you will have that full understanding of the implications of your lack of life for the Lord. And I'm here as your friend, your pastor, teacher, friend, to tell you, grow up. You are going to regret remaining in a diaper your entire life. There is clearly a difference. The unsaved lose the entrance to the kingdom of God. The saved who live unrighteously lose inheritance. How do we know who is who? I just want to make this clear. You can only know if you are born again. You can't know if I am. You can't know. You may have an idea. You may think, but you can't know. The only one you know about is the one you see in the mirror. So you better make sure you take care of that one. Make sure that one, the one you're looking at in the mirror, better be born again. Then you can only warn those who do such things to check themselves. You can say, well, you know, over in 1 Corinthians, he said, listed these things, and he said, and such were some of you, but you are now washed, you are now justified. That shouldn't describe Christians. And when it does, there's consequences. That's what you warn people. All of these works of the flesh begin where?
In the heart.
What I would say is, you can be a Christian and do those things. You'll lose reward and everything. But the only way to have power over those things is to be born again. Being born again, you now have the Holy Spirit in you, which enables you to overcome. And folks, there are always going to be those just people who will not be honest. And they'll profess to be a believer, and you'll never see any fruit. And they'll still say, well, I'm saved. I'm still a believer. And you'll say, well, why are you doing these things? Well, some of these deceivers will even say, well, you know, the Bible says there's a lot of Christians who do these things and they still go to heaven. Well, it says that there are some Christians who do those things, but they lose reward and God will destroy them. What are you doing still alive? Amen. See, this is maturity we're talking about here. This is spiritual maturity where you learn things at an adult level and you learn how to deal with yourself and your own flesh, but you also learn how to deal with those others. And they may be able to say some slick things in response to things you confront them with, but you're confronting them out of love. You want to see them straightened up. You're not doing this just to show off. And you say, listen, I will grant you, the Bible says you lose your inheritance, which is insane that you're willing to do that. But over and beyond that, 1 Corinthians 3 says He'll destroy you and you're still standing there in front of Me. And you've been doing this for how long? And you don't seem to have any conviction about it? You see, not everything is just cut and dry, simple. The gospel is simple. But in the Christian walk and dealing with human beings, it's not always just cut and dry. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, read it with me, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Comes from the heart. And so a Christian who does these things doesn't just wake up one day and decide he's going to do one of these things. You're talking about a Christian who's not walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh, and then you're just going to see these things kind of ooze out of them. Only you and God know your heart. And I want to ask you this question in closing. Are you honest with God? Are you honest with God? I mean, we don't see you killing people. We don't see you doing all these things. But what about your heart? You may be already way down the road on your way to doing these things. And we wouldn't know it. Don't mistake our love for you and you coming into a local church and being openly welcomed, right hand of fellowship, pat on the back, hug, whatever. That does not mean that God is happy with you when your heart is not in tune with His Word and you're not walking with Him. But this is something that you got to take care of. You can't come in here and wait for the preacher to preach some life-changing sermon and all of a sudden you hear the right thing and fall to your knees. Oh, you know. A mature Christian comes here to learn the Word so that when you go home the other 6 days of the week, you're in the Word and the Lord, your Heavenly Father, is teaching you daily. And you could be out in the middle of nowhere and getting ready to do or think something wrong and God will, like that, prick your conscience. And so we're going to end with that question. Are you honest with God? Do you even try? Do you even close your eyes before the Lord alone and say, Lord, I'm doing these things. I know it's wrong. But I'm going to keep doing them. Okay, that's why confessing your sins, not only 1 John 1:9 says that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But that is also a time for you to grow closer to the Lord and make your home, you become more sensitive to sin in your heart and life. The more you're alone with God and you confess your sins and you come clean with God, the closer you'll get to Him. And so, We all need to ask this question every once in a while. Are we honest with God? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word and for folks who joined together and taking every word that proceeded out of Your mouth seriously and believing and living by every word. And we thank You for Your Word being like a mirror, confronting us. We are still in the flesh. We must rely completely upon Your Word and Your Spirit. And Lord, I just ask that You would use what has been taught this morning in each life, including my own. Show us our need. Show us any area that we have left undone. Help us to draw closer to You. Help us to have a real love relationship with You. And Lord, that nothing would come between us. And that Jesus would rule and reign in the heart of every person in this room. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.